Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome everybody to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me as always is the shut the fuck up to my Donnie.
That poor, poor guy.
The rugs that really tie this room together. Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today, so we just finished smoking some marijuana.
Woohoo.
Still with a purpose.
Does the purpose stay after the 20th, or is it for the whole month?
No, that's like Christmas Eve.
Hibernation after it?
Like, after 420, that's Christmas Day. It's time to, like, move on to the next holiday.
Okay, okay, okay.
Not in this household. Weed stays for every holiday. What are you talking about?
Well, you've always got the spirit in you.
Yeah, that's true. It never really fades. It never goes anywhere.
Yeah, it's just like Halloween. Yeah. You build up to it. It's still Halloween, but you can still have Halloween in your heart.
Yeah.
But tonight is 420 Eve. It's 419 this evening, and we are recording a special 420 episode, because last year we recorded a lot of 420 episodes and cut them live and did all sorts of... We were working on the holiday.
I mean, it was fun, but it was a lot.
Yeah, nobody ever really wants to work on a holiday. I had a blast, but the whole 420 Eve sounds a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. So tomorrow we can spend our day with our family and our friends and get really high and eat munchies and enjoy the 420 of it all.
It's the best time of the year. I'm so excited, guys.
Yeah, Snort's got some activities planned. There's going to be...
Snacks. So many snacks.
All the snacks.
And obviously, copious amounts of green.
But on such a holiday, we did not want to leave y'all out there hanging. We wanted to give you guys a present. So we're going to be doing a 420 episode today. And that's not the only present that we've got for you. Well, that's the only present we've got for you. But that's not the only present that we've got for here. Because we've also got presents.
Yeah, somehow sitting in the middle of this room, there are two wrapped presents. One with sharks, which weirdly excites me.
Yeah, there's one present marked for Snort and one present marked for me. Our good friends over at Panda's Spacebound Snacks have gifted us some special 420 gift bags that we're going to be opening a day early.
Yeah. Who knows what's in there? They're big.
Yeah, I have no idea. They're giant fucking baskets. But are we ready to dig into these motherfuckers and see what's going on?
Yes. Let's do this.
Oh, look. They came with cards, too. That's sweet.
I know this one is for me, but I think it's just because we're in the same household, so this is equally yours, also, John.
Yeah, that's a present for the both of you.
I know how much you like opening things, so I'm just going to watch you open it.
You want to open the card?
You're already opening the card. Well, that's cool.
Whoa. What is this?
It's a card.
I got a full moon card.
I got a rock. I got a rock.
I like that rock.
Aw, that's very nice. We got a nice little thank you letter from Space Panda Express.
Space Panda, not Express.
Sorry.
I think they're called Express.
Did your mind just instantly go Panda Express?
Of course my mind instantly went Panda Express.
I mean, mine would have too.
Yeah.
Can we just say, to preface the movie we're about to watch, how perfect this is?
Okay, how are we gonna tell the world what we got?
Okay, well, let's see.
Okay, you go.
Okay, Dan's gonna go through his box first. Dan got a pair of alien socks.
Nice.
Which I love socks. I got a bag of Cheez-Its. That's gonna be good for the movie today.
They're just like you, baked.
All the time. Let's see what else I got. I got some Blue Raspberry Daytime Sativa.
Ooh.
Wow.
100 milligram. Okay. A little bit of gummy gums.
In your tummy tums.
In my tummy tums. I got some, some real leaf rolls. I think these are just some like.
What are they? Like
no tobacco.
Cones?
Yeah. I am not sure.
Okay. Something cool.
Something fun.
Do I have one? Oh, fuck. I just saw something else in my bag.
Yeah, I'm getting to those.
Okay.
I also got a big thing of some fucking Starburst. That's shareable.
Yeah.
Is that the Fave Reds?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, hell yeah.
I got some Oreo dippers.
Those look pretty good.
Those are good.
That looks good.
Let's see. I got some marijuana cannabis-infused energy drink. Ooh.
Energy drink.
Ooh,
25 milligrams. Ooh, yeah.
I've had the soda ones. I didn't know they made energy drink ones.
I think that's the same brand, isn't it?
That's a good daytime thing for tomorrow. Mm. A pick-me-up and a stony.
That is good. Let's see. I got some all-natural 420 cleaner, pipe cleaner. I definitely need the...
Wow, looks like acrylic paint.
I got myself a little baggie, a little pre-rolly fellas.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
And it looks like there's a little tiny piece of glass in here also.
Uh-oh. Is that stone cold?
Nice little, look at that. It's got a nice little double twist.
How fun.
That's a fun little pipe. And I got a little rolling tray with Cheech and Chong on it.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's cute.
Hold up that pipe again. That kind of looks like your little crafty craft for tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
He's going to have a big brother come tomorrow. That's awesome.
I think she's a sister.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, should I open up mine? Okay, first up, we have a Mandalorian bowling suit. This will be fun.
It's like they knew. It's like they knew what we were doing for 420. Fuck it. Let's go bowling.
Okay. I also have some pre-rollies. Very nice. I got Purple Passion.
Ooh.
Cannabis-infused soda.
Ooh.
Nice.
I do think I've had this one, and I do think we liked it.
Yeah, we're popping this in the fridge ASAP.
I also got cleaner. Thank you.
Definitely necessary. We don't buy that kind of stuff for ourselves.
It's the socks of the basket.
I just throw it away and get a new one, a new pipe. I can't clean that. I also have these leaf rolls.
There's instructions on the back. I'm very interested in playing with these.
Fuck yeah. We got some high chews.
Ooh.
Nice.
Love high chews. Also got some Oreo snackies. And, look. A very cute little fun alien clipper lighter.
Ooh,
that is fun.
That is nice. I also have some Starbursts.
Mm-hmm.
And then... What the fuck? Oh my god! I got a mini Hello Kitty bong! Holy fuck!
That thing is the cutest little bong.
Is this just a bong? What is this?
That's adorable. It's like a tiny little bubbly bong.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Is it bad to say it looks like it's for a toddler?
You got a tiny bong.
Can we load this after we finish this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
that's
cool.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, these were some great little 420 baskets. A big thank
Very
you to
cool.
Panda Spacebound Snacks. Fucking great. I love it.
Very
I'm so
cool.
excited to eat all the snacks and use all the things on the holiday of the choice.
Very excited. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great little 420 present. I love it. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely going to be using that bowling set tonight because tonight we are watching John's 420 pick.
Dudes, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him?
I mean, I'll always abide.
As a fellow dude, I have to agree. And that's why tonight we're going to be watching The Big Lebowski. Because don't we all kind of have a little bit of the dude in us? We just want to lay around, not give a fuck, smoke weed all day.
Wear a robe,
go bowling. I mean, Ooh. It sounds like the best kind of lifestyle, doesn't it?
Yeah, I definitely do like lounging around in a good robe. Mm-hmm. That's definitely one of my favorite things to fucking do.
Just let it all hang loose. Nothing wrong with that.
Full thunder gun.
So, before we really get into The Big Lebowski, I just figured I'd start off by asking the both of you, because The Big Lebowski isn't my favorite Coen Brothers movie. And I was curious if that was the same opinion you guys shared. Do you guys have a movie of theirs that you like more than The Big Lebowski?
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Coen Brothers do great work, and they've done great work since. Like, The Lebowski was early on in their entire cinematic career. But I don't know. Lebowski just holds a very special place in my heart because I think it's one of those perfect movies.
I mean, it definitely is.
I really like a lot of their movies. And maybe The Big Lebowski is still my favorite, but it... Not by, a lot. Brother, Where Art Thou? Is very close behind.
Yeah, that's a very close second in my mind also.
See, man, I guess that's a good thought, too. It's very hard to rank them. I feel like it always changes, too, because my mind always wants to say Fargo. That one, for whatever reason, just really gets me all... I don't know, I guess it scratches that Minnesota itch that I apparently have every now and again. But The Big Lebowski always floats around up there, too. So, obviously, this seems like the perfect 420 pick. Weed is the kind of, in a sense, the main premise in the background. I mean, maybe if the dude didn't get so damn high all the time, he wouldn't have gotten into these shenanigans.
See, I look at it more of a... This is essentially, it's a detective story. It's a noir movie. It's very similar to something you'd see where people would be wearing fucking fedoras and fucking, pulling out Tommy guns and shit. But you just got this fucking Long Beach fucking washed up stoner who's the detective in this case. That's the way I've always seen this movie in my mind's movie theater.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, he kind of gets forcefully thrusted into that position. But I mean, for someone who's high all the time, he kind of makes the most of the situation. I would say so.
Yeah, and in that case, it's very Pineapple Expressy, another one of your favorites, because it's just a stoner that's caught up in this fucking crime fucking scenario.
A big misunderstanding, more or less.
Which is really funny, because out of the three of us, I think you are the most likely to have this happen to you. you give off that, oops, I was just here by accident energy.
Yeah, Dan's the one who gets lost in Vegas hangover style. But John is definitely the one who accidentally gets himself into a fucking crime fucking story.
Guys, I swear, I didn't mean to. I just was just in the area.
I was just talking to this guy in the parking lot and out of nowhere.
And I mean, we really can't forget the amazing ensemble that we have here. I mean, obviously Jeff Bridges as the dude is top tier, but John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, John Turturro, Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman. This is an all-star kind of cast.
I forgot John Turturro was in this.
How could you forget that?
I know. Totally forgot.
He's the main component to the bowling.
Yeah, the Coen brothers, I mean, they always throw together a fucking amazing cast. But this one, definitely everyone together. They'd work with Buscemi in Fargo. But that's a completely different Buscemi than we get in this.
Yeah, and I know we'll dive into it on the second half, but man, his character in this movie might be one of those characters that I feel the most bad for, I think. He gets a lot of unfair aggression his way in this movie.
Yeah, but, okay, I do feel bad for him, but the ongoing, "Shut the fuck up, Donnie," quote is my favorite, and I say that quote way more, you would think I'm the biggest Big Lebowski fan with the amount of times I say that.
Yeah, you can definitely tell how much Snort likes a person by how often she drops "oh hi" marks to them. That's somebody she likes. "Shut the fuck up, Donnie's." That's "I'm tired of you, but I want to keep it light."
My favorite part about that is you haven't even seen the room, but you're still... You still drop it like a professional.
I feel like I've seen enough of it. I've seen it. Through clips and passing.
It's the equivalent of a 9-minute YouTube comp. You can easily see the best parts of it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's available for free on YouTube. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's how I watched it back in the day.
Wouldn't fucking doubt it. But this movie, since we're talking about Shut the Fuck Up, Donnie, this movie was one of the fucking most quotable movies of my formative film watching years. And I'm not embarrassed to say, when I first saw this movie as a 19-year-old fucking kid with no taste in cinema, really, outside of, "oh, I hope there's a new Ninja Turtles movie soon." pre-film school, Dan. I didn't get it. I did not understand, like, why.
Like, people... why people like it?
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't buy the hype initially?
Yeah, and it was partially because it was very overhyped to me walking into it. And being the pretentious little asshole that I was at that point, I was like, I mean, it's okay.
That's what I was going to say. Were you just being a fucking troll?
Because... Yeah, I was being that guy.
Not so bad.
But I felt the same way about Napoleon Dynamite. And through subsequent viewings of these, you know, brilliant fucking pieces of comedy, I learned to love and appreciate it, as, you know, everybody does at this point. And this movie became one of the most quotable movies of my youth. Like, you go fucking somebody's house for the first time, you compliment their rug. It's just what you do.
I think that's really the only one I pull from this movie is the rug one. Because it took me a while to come around to this movie myself. Like, I only watched it for the first time, like, within the past year or two. And it was one of those things that I think I was reading kind of your initial reaction. I was reading those thoughts online. Like, I mean, it's fine, but why do people like it so much? I was just like, you know, I'll get around to it. And then when Snort and I actually did watch it, I did enjoy it a lot, but I was also kind of like, yeah, it didn't scratch the itch I was looking for necessarily, but I loved it at the same time. It was a very weird relationship with it. And so I'm honestly excited to revisit it again now and see how much more I enjoy it, I guess. Because it's definitely a timeless classic. It's definitely one of those ones that I think at this point it seems to grow in popularity. I think more and more people have come around to it. So I think in the subsequent viewing, it could easily jump back up to number one for me.
That's the thing with this movie is, like, it's literally, like, a cult classic movie. Like, they have showings at the bowling alley, like, of this movie. It's crazy.
They do, yeah.
Was it like that, like, right away when it came out? Or has this been, like, through the years?
Yeah, this was always a movie that people showed each other on VHS. It didn't do well in the cinema, but this is one that made its rounds on the tapes. Okay.
That, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, shoot, I think even our local theater showing it this week for 420.
Yeah, there were tons of quotes from my age, though. Like, I specifically remember any time anybody was, like, confused by the context of a situation, obviously you're not a golfer. Which is low-key one of my favorite lines in the entire fucking movie.
But at the same time, I mean, that's just kind of, like, how this movie is. There's just a lot of, like, nonsensical bullshit that goes on, and that's what makes this movie so great. It's not like super linear. Shit just keeps happening and things kind of just get off the rails and go ways that nobody expects. But I mean, for me watching a movie, that's what I want. Expect the unexpected,
which makes it a perfect 420 movie. Keeps your interest.
And Jeff Bridges as the motherfucking dude, like, it doesn't get any better than that at all. Like, he's become the fucking dude. This is the 25th anniversary of this movie coming up. Throughout the years, Jeff Bridges had just gotten more and more the dude as time went on.
He just seems like such a cool guy, you know? Like, in real life, he seems so cool.
Yeah, it's almost as if anything that you watch him in, like, not acting specifically, but, like, all the press stuff, he just reminds you of Lebowski anytime he comes on screen and does an interview. He just oozes coolness.
And I've listened to him, like, on podcasts and, like, in interviews and stuff recently, and he has nothing but love for this movie. Like, he's so proud to have, like, done this movie that it makes you love it even more.
Yeah, I remember seeing John Goodman's Hollywood Star Ceremony on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, and Jeff Bridges came up and talked and just... the sweetest fucking things came out of his mouth about John Goodman.
Were you there, like, in person?
No. On the YouTube.
Oh, well, I was there in person.
I was there in person watching on YouTube.
Okay.
You were on the live stream?
No. Well, I was just, like, sitting in my office watching it on YouTube. I was still physically there. But yeah, everything he always has to say about the Lebowski role, about the movie, he just... just nothing but the kindest words. And you can tell that he didn't, like, find that character. He put himself into that. What you're seeing on there as the dude, that's just fucking Jeff Bridges.
And that's what makes this so beautiful. And such a perfect way to cap 420 off, I think. I just want to lay around. Maybe I don't want a White Russian. I don't know if I'm on that train. But I want to lay around. I want to get really high with you guys. I want to watch this movie. Maybe we'll go bowling afterwards. I don't know.
Fuck it. Let's go bowling.
Yes. The first of many.
That was over the line.
Yeah, that's just like your opinion, man.
Look at me, so annoying.
We're going to be those people. But you have to be with a movie like The Big Lebowski. And that's why I'm happy that we're doing this. I'm happy we're watching this, guys. And I hope you are too.
Very excited.
Listen, my friends didn't die face down in the muck. So you guys could sit here and watch The Big Lebowski on 420 Eve.
Good. I forgot about that whole thing.
This must end. We have a movie to watch.
Fuck it. Let's watch a movie.
Fuck it, dude. Let's watch a movie.
Fuck it. Let's watch a movie.
And now, our feature presentation.
Dan found the movie, and Panda Spacebound brought the snacks. And we're back. And we just watched The Big Lebowski.
Bum, 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 bum. Happy 420, everybody.
Dude. So good.
Dudes, I gotta know. How are you feeling right now? Was this what you needed on your 420 Eve?
This was definitely what I needed. I'm feeling very duty right now. Not like duty, like I feel shitty, but like I'm feeling very much like the dude himself.
You kind of are exuding dude energy just the way you're sitting in the chair over there, honestly. Well, your eyes.
I did have an edible during the showing.
How convenient for it to really smack you when we start this. You look gone over there.
I'm a little juicy.
Snort, how are you doing?
Great. I told you guys before we started recording, but man, this was like, I just feel, my heart is so happy. This is like the perfect movie to watch on 420 Eve, like with your friends. But, okay, we have to talk about something.
Okay? Oh.
There's three people in this movie. Main people, okay?
Yeah. You know,
three characters. There's three of us. We always cast everything. Who's who in this? Because I was really trying to figure it out, and I really don't know.
Man.
Am I Donnie? Oh, no. Damn it.
Sorry. I mean, out of the three of us, we know I'm the Walter, obviously. John's the dude. Because he's the one that's going to get in this situation in the first place, like we talked about on the first half. So, unfortunately, shut the fuck up, Snort.
I do feel like that's very accurate.
But look at it this way. He's the probably the most endearing of the three. He really,
yeah,
really doesn't...
Guess what? I die. What?
Just, he really ties the movie together.
You know, I was going to hit you with a, that's just like your opinion, man, but I have to agree. He really does tie the movie together.
Well, we just had to get that out of the way. It was really bothering me the whole movie. I needed to know what your thoughts were.
John, what about you? This was your pick. How dude are you feeling right now, man?
I'm on a pretty dutiful high, as one would say. I think maybe it's just the euphoric feeling of just finishing it, but this could have propelled up into the number one in the Coen Brothers for me. Watching it again, especially with you guys, and just hearing the quotes out loud and all of us laughing at the right moments, I don't know, there's just something about this viewing that just kind of made it special.
Yeah, as I was watching this movie, because I got that same feeling. Like, I've seen this movie God knows how many fucking times. Like, I can hear it in my head just softly. Every day.
Oh, you quoted like this movie multiple times throughout.
From in the kitchen back there. No, wham bam.
And watching this movie, again, it might have been the 420 Eve of it all. It might have been the company. It might have been just the overall dude feeling of the evening. But I felt kind of like a proud dad watching it. Like, that's the only way I can really... Like, you just got that smile on your face and you're just watching it and... I think that's what a perfect movie does to you. It makes you feel like proud that it's a movie that you like.
Well, and just it kind of, I feel like all of us could feel that energy in the room too, because anytime I would look at either of you, you had that same kind of goofy look plastered to your face that I could feel the whole time. Like, I feel like my cheeks hurt from how happy like this movie made me. And that maybe sounds dumb, but fuck it. This was great.
I feel like I've seen this movie before, and watching it tonight, I was not distracted or like checked down at all. Like, hey, sometimes get during movies just because you get like bored and tired, you know? I was completely engaged the whole time.
And isn't that even more impressive considering it's the eve of 420 and we've all been pretty stony baloney on various snacks and weeds galore, and yet somehow, even after seeing this, still can hook you when you're the highest of highs. It's a testament.
I will say I was distracted because there was a lot of snacks going around and I was working on stuff. But when Dan's got the Lebowski on, it's kind of like I'm in two places at once. It's quantum. Yeah. I'm watching it, even if I'm not in the same room as it. I can time it out and come right back in and know exactly where I'm going to be.
Well, are you guys ready to kind of dive into this thing?
Fuck it, dude.
First and foremost, one thing I do want to shout out is in the opening credits, I saw that Roger Deakins did the cinematography, and I fucking love that dude. He does a lot of fantastic movies, so that was just a cool little thing. There's a little technical nugget for anybody listening out there.
Way to start off the Stoner 420 viewing with a fucking studious comment.
Dude, we're a movie podcast.
Oh yeah, we do a movie podcast.
It's all facets of movies, all right? Shout out to everybody involved. That's why we watch the credits.
I just want to appreciate and respect the fact that you're doing such a diligent attention to your duties.
Hey, dude. That was sweet.
A good one.
All right, so we dive into this thing, and the legend appears over the narrator voiceover. We get Lebowski, we get the dude in the fucking grocery store, and he has got to find the right half an hour.
And you know what? It's beautiful, because that's the first time everybody meets the dude. That's the first time you met the dude. That's the first time you met the dude. That's the first time everybody just sees, and you know who he is. He's standing there in a grocery store in his robe, just content.
Doing whatever he wants to do.
Pretty much with just like the perfect amount of like no fucks given demeanor. Like he looks like somebody that I could easily see someone going, what the fuck? But he's just minding his business. He knows what he likes. And what I think is so funny is it kind of hammers home the type of person he is, because to pay for that, he writes a check for 68 cents.
Just fucking dude things, man. Just fucking dude things.
I mean, I respect it. If that's your method, that's your method.
Well, when you do the check back, you know, it takes a couple of days to cash and stuff. So you get a little bit of money in your account between now and then. Got some time to make
yourself
sure.
A little buffer. Yeah. Well, all is well. We get the half and half, and he starts to head home. And surprise, we get some visitors. The door kicks down, and all of a sudden, he's getting a swirly. The dude is getting multiple swirlies.
We're coming in fucking hot, man.
These guys are looking for some money. And you know, for the kind of shit that Lebowski goes through in this scene, it's insane to me like how patient and chill he is with the attackers in his own home.
It's like that, like, throughout the whole movie, but this is the first time that you see it, that he is just completely unbothered by strangers in his house. You know, like, oh, okay. Who are you, though?
Yeah, he is mostly hinged throughout most of this movie.
Yeah, which, I mean, when you follow along with the journey, bravo. I don't know how he does it. I mean, he even has a quip where, you know, hey, where's the money? I don't know. I need to put me back in the toilet, essentially. Maybe I need to look a little further down.
I need to take another look down there.
Like, dude, these people busted into your door and you're not even the slight. You're just inconvenienced. That's all you are. And to top it all off, they piss on your fucking rug.
They piss on his fucking rug, dude.
Oh, not the rug.
And that's the catalyst for this whole story. It's the fucking rug. It really tied the room together.
Not anymore. Not with those piss stains on it. But this obviously, I mean, would make anybody mad. So what do we do? Well, we go hang out with our friends. We go to the bowling alley. We meet the boys for the first time. We get Walter and Donnie, and you instantly see, sorry, Snort, how much of a punching bag Donnie is. Because Walter is kind of a dick.
Yeah, but I think Donnie's just a good enough friend that he knows Walter's going through shit. You know what I mean? Like, Walter's got some PTSD. Let's talk a little bit about Walter.
Yeah.
Walter's seen some shit. His buddies died face down in fucking now. All right? He's been through it. He's a fucking army vet. He's divorced. He's living a hard life, man. So, like, Donnie understands that his friend has rage issues that he's not ready to resolve yet. And he doesn't add to that. Donnie has a good heart.
Absolutely.
Up until he doesn't have a good heart.
Well.
Oh, my God.
That is about as dark as you could get.
Fuck.
We're talking about how sweet of a soul this man is until he doesn't have a soul. And I was getting ready to gush about him, too.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Whoa.
I guess I should have prepared my eulogy early. No, I mean, I totally get it. For the most part, well, I don't want to say Walter has the best interests, but he tries to have the best interests. And I know that Donnie sees it for what it is, I guess. He's able to put the bullshit aside, and I do respect that.
I think that throughout the majority of this movie, like, Walter's intentions are the purest of pure.
He's really trying
to just help his buddy out. Make a little money on this one. It's
a little extreme, but...
He turns it up to 11. He Nick Cages the motherfucker.
Walter's an asshole. And he's impulsive. And it is dangerous to have someone like that as your friend.
Sorry.
Because...
These feel like personal attacks now.
Yeah, they do. We should save this for the end.
This just turned into TH therapy.
I'm so sorry, guys. This is not the reason why I gathered you here today.
No, but the dude wouldn't be in all of these situations and stuff if it wasn't for Walter trying to make some extra money and doing this whole switching the briefcase shit.
I mean, you're not wrong, but at least in this moment where we meet them, Walter is kind of speaking facts. I mean, he's telling the dude, like, yo, you can't let these dudes walk all over you.
I mean, yeah, you can. It's okay. Move, leave.
No, no.
Okay, Donnie.
Such a Donnie response.
Shut the fuck up. See,
I'm with
Walter on this.
Hold on.
You can't let somebody walk into your house and piss on your fucking rug. Man.
I just want a new rug. That's all. That's all. It's maybe they'll listen. I don't know.
No, they pissed on your fucking rug, dude.
Then you know what? Fucking, we're going straight to the source. Walter apparently gets through to the old Deuterino, and we're heading to meet the other Lebowski.
The big Lebowski.
The big Lebowski, Mr. Lebowski. But first, we got to run into old Philip Seymour Hoffman, which, just a quick shout out. Oh. Just a schmuck in this movie.
I love him in this movie.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He eats this role up.
This was probably one of my earlier exposures to Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you could tell this guy was going to have the career that he did. God rest his fucking soul.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so fucking versatile. And it's just these roles in these comedic movies. Man, I wish we would have got a little bit more of it. It's so good.
You want to know a funny thing about him in this movie? The first time I watched it, I thought he was like the one that like not really kidnapped her, but like him and her were like in on this like ransom together, you know? That was my prediction the first time I watched.
That's a good prediction.
That he was the culprit?
Yeah, him and her were like in it together.
Yeah, especially that little quip that they get a little bit later on, yeah. So he meets Philip Seymour Hoffman, and now we're getting to the big Lebowski. And, I mean, still, the dude just wants a new rug, more or less. I get it. You have this view of me, Mr. Lebowski. Whatever. I just want a rug. I just want some reimbursement. And for whatever reason, Mr. Lebowski does not want to fucking reimburse him for the rug. He thinks he's getting scammed. This dude is some deadbeat stoner. What are you doing in my mansion? Who the fuck is this? Goes on this weird, like, boomer tirade about, you gotta get a job. Blah, 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 you fucking lazy stoner. Like, just why are you berating him? He's just looking for some restitution.
Yeah, it's a rational, you know, fucking request. Like, The rug that was meant to be pissed on was the Big Lebowski's. Thereby, if it wasn't for the fact of that, the dude's rug would have never gotten pissed on in the first place.
Right.
Well, and think of everything else that happened, too, you know? Like, they knocked down, like, knock in the door, beat him up, like, give him, put him in the toilet and stuff.
But it's
not,
he's fine with that. It's the rug.
It's just the rug. He could have asked for so much more.
But he's a simple man. He's like a monk. He just wants to be comfortable in his space.
And that's just what makes him so, like, down to earth and relatable. He has one goal and one goal only, and that's for a fucking rug. Shoot, he could have got greedy. Most people probably would. Give me my rug, and I'll go home, smoke, and be happy. But obviously, Mr. Lebowski wasn't going to help the dude out. So what does he do? He just snakes him on the way out. He says, you know what? I'll take whichever one I want. Which is a brilliant thinking on your feet moment for this now slowly morphing into stoner detective dude. And on the way out, we got to meet Bunny because she's a very integral part of the story.
Yep, Chekhov's gun. Got to put it in the first act.
Of course. And so now that we have Bunny in the equation, where do we go? We got to go back to the bowling alley because, you know, that's what we do in this universe.
Yeah, fuck it, dude.
And now Walter has a dog, and just randomly.
Well, it's his ex-wife's dog.
And it's a fucking nice dog.
It's just, he's the last person I would want a nice dog with. I don't know. He seems, like Snort said, like some shit could go down with that dog. And I would easily be like, Walter did it. 100%.
I'm honestly surprised the dog didn't end up in the bag that got thrown out of the car window.
That's a fucking Walter move to a T. We, you know, get a little more interaction with our boys, but Walter is very diligent about his bowling games, and the opposing team has faulted. He stepped over the line.
Over the fucking line, Smokey.
And that's the one thing you don't do when Walter's around.
No, well, I mean, it's a bowling alley. There's fucking rules there, all right? Nom, there weren't rules there. The bowling alley, there's fucking rules.
But not everything's Nom. What the fuck, dude? It seems like a weird...
What are we talking about?
Shut the fuck up,
damn it. Look, all I'm saying is it just seems like a very odd time to tell somebody they're going to enter a world of pain and pull a gun on them. Like, we could have chatted about this. I would have just given you the 8 points. That's what a dude does. But apparently my friend Walter said, fuck that.
Walter is nothing if not the most intense man in the room at all times.
Always.
And he shares a room with the Jesus later on.
That's a very good point. So, obviously, the police come. Walter and the dude go have a little chat in the car. And now we head back to Lebowski's house. The dude, not Mister. And this is the Furt White.
El Deuterino.
El Deuterino.
His royal dudeness. If you're into the whole brevity thing.
This is, I had a white Russian counter, and this is the first white Russian of the movie.
Okay.
And the landlord randomly shows up and has a weird dance recital he wants to invite the dude to, which is really just a ploy to get rent, but he seemed also like he was looking for support.
Yeah, and the dude abides.
That he does. While he shoos the landlord off, he proceeds to get back to his white Russian, listen to his messages on his brand new rug. And it just so happens it's Philip Seymour Hoffman. And now the Big Lebowski is needing to reach him urgently. It's not about the rug, though. We just need to chat about a couple things. All in all, the dude ends up going back to the Big Lebowski's. All in all, we find out that Lebowski is sad because his bunny is now missing. All the dude wants to do is smoke a little weed. He doesn't really give a shit about Bunny.
All he wants to do is smoke weed. I just want to mention this. Any time that the dude is smoking weed in this movie, it is always a fucking roach.
The tiniest of tiny fucking roaches.
Yeah, what the heck is up with that?
I think it just goes back to the 68 cent checks.
Oh man,
that's just
I felt bad for him.
It's really making that bag stretch out. I don't know. I think he's just walking around in fucking like Venice, and he just finds the roaches on the ground and just puts them in his fucking like robe pocket on his way back from the grocery store.
Yeah, that's
that's found weed
every single time. So yeah, essentially, Lebowski wants the dude to be a middleman in getting Bunny back. He says, you know what? We'll pay the price. There's this ransom note. You just got to deliver the money. Because for whatever reason, the dude is obligated to do this in Lebowski's eyes. Just well, because he like, showed up and he's like, it's got to be the rug people.
He's the only lowlife that Big Lebowski knows, you know, is the dude.
I know. But the dude shouldn't be wrapped up in this bullshit. So now that we've established that somehow the dude is going to abide and be the middleman, where do we go once again? The bowling alley. But this time for a different reason. We have to enter the Jesus.
Oh, God, the Jesus reveal. It's like when he comes on the fucking screen, I can only imagine that, like, the feeling I get is the same feeling that the people at the actual resurrection got when Jesus walked out of the cave after 3 days. It's just beautiful and glorious, and you knew it was coming, but it fills your heart.
Oh, it rose in my heart. Let me tell you what. It's almost, once again, just like a piece of art. I mean, he had the perfect bowling form. I have never seen such a bowler in my life.
I think just the whole vibe of that whole scene, like his outfit, like the form, the music.
The dancing. Everything. It's like a fucking little musical in the middle of a fucking detective story.
It made me wonder on this viewing if, like, you know how when Brock Lesnar comes out and does his little dance? I wonder if he got it from the Big Lebowski.
We do have to mention, though, that Jesus is not, like, a great guy.
No, he's not. No, the Jesus is not a good person.
Yeah, they don't take too long to let you know that he's just a bit of a pedo.
Yeah, he's definitely the villain.
It's like, he gets this nice, badass intro, instant cut to him knocking on doors, like, yeah, I just moved into the neighborhood.
And I have to tell everybody.
You should know about my past.
Have you met my roommate, Jared Fogle?
Gross. And all of a sudden, now there's some tensions rising. Because Jesus kind of like taunting our three boys here. You know, he's giving them a little shimmy, and Walter already knows. He's like, no, fuck that pedo. Don't trust anything that that guy is going to offer you.
I just love Jesus' backup guy.
Just like, he looks at, I think he just works at that real bowling alley. Like, I think he's a real bowling guy. They just found him there.
The flat top, it's just so much going on with it.
What is his infatuation with the Jesus then? How did he become a follower?
No, I think this guy was just works at the bowling alley, and they went to film a movie, and they were like, you, jump in real quick. And they put him in the movie. Or maybe he was the owner of the bowling alley. He was like, I'll only let you film here if I'm in the movie. So they made him be the pedophile's like bowling mate.
He definitely does look like he owns a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe he was too pushy and that's why he got put with the pedophile character? Please, let me be in the movie. Please.
What I'm saying.
But just as Jesus appears, he's gone. And now we're entering Julianne Moore's character and her henchmen who show up at the dude's house. And all of a sudden he goes on a fucking magic carpet ride in his knocked out stage.
And that's when we get like the first dream sequence.
Which is honestly, it's kind of batshit how much this movie puts you through. There's just so many off the wall things that happen so naturally. They fit into place perfectly, but they're just random as hell like this. But I loved every second of it.
I like the dream sequences. Like, I'm fine with them, but they aren't my favorite.
I like to think of them as little intermissions between the acts.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. Because, yeah, there's only that and I think the other one. So we take this journey on this magic carpet ride, and shout out to the 90s, the dude wakes up to his pager going off. Which,
like you do.
Like you do. And his newfound rug is now also missing. What the fuck? Where did it go? Why do these rugs keep disappearing?
Why can't the dude just keep a rug?
Seems like an easy thing to not lose, and he manages to keep losing it.
It seems like the last thing that would like ever get stolen from someone's house. Who steals a rug? You know, like that's a difficult thing to steal.
But somehow, someway,
he's lost two of them.
So now he's got just another fucking problem to deal with. But hey, guess what? Lebowski's got the money ready. We need you to come over so we can go try to get Bunny back. So from one problem to the next, he's just getting strung out. And the dude ends up being thrusted into now Walter's crazy plan. It was something that was going to go smoothly. Lebowski had it all laid out. The dude would abide. But he picks Walter as his driver, and Walter seems to just kick it up a notch in the worst way fucking possible.
Walter just doesn't know when to keep his fucking mouth shut. If he had just driven the car and not fucking, like, started talking on the phone in the first place when the dude was getting a call from the fucking nihilists, and then Walter's just, like, last-minute harebrained scheme to fucking spring on the dude, knowing the dude's just gonna go along with it.
It's a little skeevy. I'll be honest. He saw that personal gain in the money. But Walter doesn't miss in his eyes. He's the fucking plan master. And all it took was one phone call for him to begin the fuck up. The people on the phone are like, no. Well, who's the other person? Who's the other person? Walter's like, no, fuck them. It's not a big deal. They end up calling back. They say, hey, toss the bag over the bridge and you're good to go. Deal done. Walter's like, no, fuck it. Throw the ringer bag that I somehow brought with my dirty underwear in it. That'll be funny. That's a great idea to these people who could potentially kill you.
That's the thing about Walter, is he's definitely like the most like intense character, but the times that we should be like scared or worried and all of these things, he's the most nonchalant guy. Now everything's fine. Don't worry about a thing. He's just very off the pulse of the situations.
But he's very confident in that.
Yes.
He's confident, but in the same scene, he talks about not making plans complex, when in this whole entire sequence, he makes the whole fucking thing extremely complex. He really walks back on his own words very quickly. All in all, it leads to shit going south. Somehow, Walter throws the bag out, decides to roll out of the car because he has an Uzi now, and he's going to shoot at these getaway guys. Ends up rolling, shooting the fucking dude's car while he's still driving. It's just absolute chaos. Walter's completely fucked everything. And the only response is, fuck it, let's go bowling.
Yeah, he definitely just went like full Nick Cage. And then like, meh.
It's not a big deal. We got a tournament coming up. Let's fucking go get some sessions in. So the boys head back to the bowling alley. Walter's trying to calm the dude down. The dude's obviously beside himself. Like, dude, you fucked everything up. Bunny's gonna die now. I'm gonna probably die now. Walter, no. Dude, listen, it's fine.
Tournament.
Yeah.
Get your head in the game.
Keep your head in the fucking game. Eye on the prize. But yeah, it's funny too, because after everything they just endure, Walter's more or less mad about having to potentially bowl on a Saturday.
Well, he doesn't roll on fucking Shabbos.
Doesn't even pertain to him, though. But he has very deep values, apparently, in many different aspects of life, and this is one thing he takes very seriously.
Mm-hmm. He's just passionate.
They end up leaving the bowling alley, only to find out that now the dude's car is missing. The first thought, dude, where's my car? Obvious.
Where's your car, dude?
And you really feel for the dude in this situation, because, man, just the shittiest of luck. No matter where he goes, the bowling alley is essentially his safe zone. Not anymore.
And, like, it's never his fault either.
Yeah, he's having a bad week. I'm really interested to see what other weeks for the dude are like, comparatively.
Like a normal week?
Yeah. Like, I would like to see just, you know, maybe a 5 minute short of just the dude just doing nothing. Nothing happening. Nothing bad happening to him this week.
It's probably every week.
He's just hanging out, watching some fucking TV, listening to some records. Maybe walk down by the beach a little bit, grab a coffee, head back.
Maybe we would see the other half of the blunts he's smoking.
Or maybe you would just see his journey of picking up roaches off the sidewalk. So now that the dude has a missing car, we got to talk to the police. And we're a little upset. What was in the car? Well, you know, I got my credence tape.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold out hope for that credence tape.
He has credence tapes. He's got his papers. You know, he's just got paper.
He's a businessman. They're just business papers.
And, you know, we got to keep our priorities straight. You could tell the police don't really give a shit. They're like, this guy is fucking, he's high. He doesn't know.
No, of course they don't care about his 87 San Fierro.
They've got bigger fish to fry. I think you can tell in this moment, the dude, he's flustered. He's like, they're not going to fucking help me. And boy, I wish I could have reached that screen and helped him myself. I'll tell you what.
Oh, it's okay. He's got Walter.
Yeah, I don't know after all that trouble he just put you through. So now that the dude is done with the police, now we got to re-enter Julianne Moore into her weird sex dungeon art warehouse, whatever it was. And she's a very strong woman in this movie. She comes across with a very strong purpose.
I love her in this movie, though. Like, I think she's amazing. I would say one of my favorite performances I've seen of her is just in this movie.
Any scene that she is in this movie, she just has a very, like, demanding presence.
She just brings a different, like, vibe than anybody else does to this movie.
I will agree with both of you. She's very good and thorough.
And in this scene, we learn that Mr. Lebowski is her father, and the second rug that was stolen was actually hers. It's a whole lineage. You know the story. The dude has a second white Russian. That's a key point. We got to keep track. And it is also at this point in time where we learn about the existence of logjam. It's very hard. Very hard to say with a straight face.
It's very hard.
With our star of the show, Carl Hungus. Because, you know, we got some cable that needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, who else is in this thing? It's Bunny. Now the story's cracked wide open. The dude is starting to piece some things together now. Like, oh, wait a minute. He starts thinking that Bunny kidnapped herself. It's all a ploy to get some money from Mr. Lebowski. And it's kind of funny because you can really tell that the wheels start turning in the scene for him. And all of a sudden, it's like the high instincts are taking over. I think he fully embraces the detective turn he has to take, I guess.
Like, he wants to get involved and, like, figure this out now. He's invested and, like, might as well see it through.
And so ultimately what we find out here is now Julianne Moore essentially wants the dude on her side to screw the dad over. He's getting thrown left and right, and now he gets sent on his way. He gets a limo home to have his third white Russian. And somehow, instantly, leaving this limo at his destination, gets thrusted into a second limo.
He's living in the lap of luxury, man. He is a high-class detective at this point.
Very high-class.
Catering to some high clientele.
Well, what I really like about this, though, is I think this is the scene where he kind of solidifies himself a little bit more and starts standing up for himself. He's like, dudes, I got some information. I think you need to start paying up for this shit.
Well, I think it was because, when they ripped him out of that first limo, he really got assertive because they were about to spill his fucking drink.
That's true.
He's like, this is how you fucking pull me into a meeting? You don't think I'm going to come in with aggression and ask you for money after that? There's a beverage here.
Yeah, have some fucking decency.
Have some respect.
Yeah. Just ask me to walk, dude. Chill. And essentially, he kind of flips a script on old Mr. Lebowski and Philip Seymour Hoffman and kind of seems like he's starting to sway them on his side. And then they give him a toe. And this, once again, raises the stakes because now we got to speculate. Whose toe is it? Is it Bunny's toe? Who? What the fuck is happening? Why am I in this scenario? Dude, what is the first thing the dude does? He goes to Walter and tells him all about the toe. Who, in turn, once again, there's no problem here. I can get you a toe by three. Painted toe, if you need.
Walter's got a toe guy.
What can't he do at this point? He just seems like a wealth of knowledge who can acquire anything at any point in time.
I think because he says the craziest things, though, but I think I laugh out loud the most at his lines. Like, he's just so crazy but funny.
John Goodman? No. John Greatman. Oh.
He's a great man, but at the same time, this scene, he gets a little too combative with, like, the waitress, where I think we had a moment in this where we had to question his politics a little bit with how extreme he probably is.
Yeah, if Walter was around on current day, we definitely feel Walter would be one of those, like, sovereign citizen types.
Yeah. He didn't take any shit from anybody. You can't tell him. He doesn't belong to your society.
We don't need a driver's license to drive a car. I'm not commercially operating it. I'm traveling. Look at the code. Look at the Constitution. Am I being detained? Yeah, that's Walter.
He's just the kind of guy to respond with every question. Mind your own fucking business.
Walter might have been at the Capitol on January 6th.
I literally was just thinking that. And I was like, no, I probably should have said that on the podcast. So
it's too late.
Glad you did.
It's too late.
Get out to my head.
I think we can all agree on that, unfortunately. But hey, he's a good man. This is just character. John Goodman is not that guy.
No. John Goodman is a great man.
Great man. So now we cut to the dude in the bath. He's smoking another presumably found sidewalk roach. He gets a message from the cops. Hey, we found your car.
Hey, things are looking up.
It's awesome. We're finally taking a turn for the better. But all of a sudden, he has some unexpected guests because we need another twist and turn in this story. The Germans show up.
The Nihilists.
And
Peter Stottemeyer. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
A wild flea appearance.
Wow! Dang! I remember I saw his name at the beginning, and I was like, dang, I didn't know he was in this movie. And then I forgot about it. But now that you said, I see it.
And then the tallest person that I saw only in this movie and never saw again, yeah. Presumably.
And they show up with a ferret? Is that what we're our weapon
marmot,
of choice?
Marmot?
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, it's maybe one of the most visceral things in the movie. The last thing I want is a marmot to be dropped in my nice fucking bath that I'm just relaxing in.
If someone shows up with that, like, as their attack animal, I'm like, hell no, that is a crazy yeah. motherfucker. Who shows up with one of those, you know?
And I'm pretty sure, like, I didn't do the research, but from my perspective, that looked like that was a real marmot in there.
I now I'm curious if they actually dropped it in. He sold it well, regardless.
I mean, they can swim. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, PETA, it's fine.
We should have stuck around for the credits at the very end to see.
See if it had the tag or not.
Yeah. And after dropping this marmot in the bath, their next threat is, you know, figure your shit out. We want our money, essentially. Or we're going to cut your Johnson off. That's when
they're going to stomp on it. They're going to squish it. They're going to moosh it.
One guy just descriptively calls it like a wiggly penis at one point. Like, what? So now that the dude has some marmot trauma and a potential Johnson cutoff on the horizon.
The stakes are higher, man.
Higher.
The stakes keep getting higher. Like, I was getting higher. The stakes were getting higher.
But guess what? Walter says, nah, no big deal. They're going to do that on my watch.
The good news is, the car is supposedly back, so we gotta go grab it now. Except it's not in great shape. But thankfully, the tape deck and the Creedence tapes are still around. And we take the shitty car, we go back to the bowling alley with his boys. Like Snor said, we gotta talk to Walter. He's not taking the shit. And now we have to have the fourth white Russian, as for whatever reason, we meet the narrator in this moment.
Yep, Mr. Mustache Sam Elliott comes out himself.
Which... you know, he is what he is, but I like his character in this. I like the narration. It kind of just really helps sell the absurdity of this fucking storyline, I think.
Yeah, Sam Elliott can narrate, you know, things also, but he also would have been at the Capitol on January 6th.
I think it's an interesting part of this movie. Like, I don't know if it necessarily needed it, but it makes it kind of different. I mostly like it at the end.
Yeah.
I think that's the best use of it.
That's you get the payoff there. So we get the scene with the narrator, and now Julianne Moore's calling, like, you didn't go to the doctor. What are you doing? You're supposed to go to the doctor.
Yeah, he's good.
But it's fine. It's not a big deal.
I'm thorough.
Damn it. But we're going to head back to her place because we got to chat about some more shit. And this is where we meet the giggler, the weird fucking dude who just, I don't know. He just, something makes me really uncomfortable with this fucking guy.
I related with him. I've been in that state of mind before.
Well, my favorite thing is he offers the dude a drink, which is now the fifth white Russian. And right as the butt hits the seat.
Bar's over there.
Yep. You son of a bitch. But that also shows the kind of dude the dude is, just making himself at home.
Yeah, but did that even stop him? Like, he could have made that choice of, like, I'm not going to go get that fifth white Russian. But you know what the dude does?
He gets that fifth white Russian.
Because the dude abides.
You're going to get me so many times. So we get some more weird giggling. We kind of get a little view of the Germans are a band called the Autobahns. Which is
Autobahn.
Is just a fun little twist in the story as well. Julian Moore convinces the dude to go to the doctor. He goes to the doctor.
He's very good.
He's very, very good. He's on top of the world after this doctor visit. He starts.
No, the doctor's good.
Oh.
And he's thorough.
Stop.
Because even though the dude got hit in the face, he's doing a full body inspection. Gotta check that Johnson.
Pulled out his shorts. What? No. But the dude ends up leaving. He's, whatever the doctor did, it worked. Because he seems very euphoric in this drive. He's just smoking his weed, driving along, and sees somebody potentially following him, drops the weed, all of a sudden fucking crashes the car.
I've never dropped a roach while smoking, but while driving. But I've definitely dropped a cigarette while driving, and it is definitely just like that. Just screaming and trying to get it away.
I have not lived the moment, but I can only imagine the sheer terror of holy fuck, don't crash.
I had a cigarette fly, like I threw it outside once, and then the wind caught it and blew it back, and it fell on my head and burnt like my hair. Yeah, it was terrible.
It's almost like the start of like some Final Destination stuff. So the dude crashes his car, but thankfully there's a clue tucked within the seat. There's a little crumpled up piece of paper.
A clue?
A clue.
Like Scooby-Doo.
We have some work to do now. The dude finds this crumpled up piece of paper. It's a letter. It's homework. There's a name, Larry Sellers. It's something. Let's put our noggin to use and figure out who this Larry Sellers kid is.
Yeah, let's involve Walter on this.
Because Walter knows everything. Sellers, I know that name. Arthur. Arthur's his father, who's a big TV writer. Son's some 19-year-old piece of shit. He's some kid.
Fucking Larry.
So, of course, Walter's a great idea. Let's go confront the kid, because that's a genius idea. Donnie's here, too. He just wants In-N-Out Burger. Fuck him.
That's all Donnie wants.
That is all Donnie ever wants.
You kind of...
Where were you eating that,
guys? Are you starting to buy more into the Donnie of you?
A little bit.
That's the thing. Donnie's around, but he's just always kind of in the shadows. Like, I'm glad he at least gets something in here. Can we get, I'll come. Can we just get burgers?
Yeah, and then Walter is nice to him and says that they can get burgers. I love that moment.
It was a very good character bonding moment for the two of them. So now we gotta head to the Sellers family home, because we're ready to rock. We're gonna do this like legal kind of ploy shit to get in the house. We need to talk to your son. The father is in some weird ass chamber that's
iron lung,
keeping him alive, but just put him out of his misery. What's the point? They end up talking to the old little shitty kid who just pretty much no-sells everything. Walter's pushing the, we know this is your homework. The dude just like...
Just blank-faced.
And the dude's like, no, we know you spent some of the money. Where's the fucking money? We just want the money back. We saw the Corvette outside. We know it's you. Kid, just nothing, not giving anything. So Walter's got an even better idea. You know what? We're going to hit you where it really hurts. So Walter proceeds to go to the dude's car, does this awesome like kick to the trunk, pops it open, and grabs a crowbar. And says, you know what? Fuck this Corvette. Let's smash this bitch.
And in this instance, the dude and Walter have become that which has been plaguing the dude the entire time.
What?
A case of mistaken identity, man. The dude and Walter busted into this guy's house, accused him of some shit that he didn't fucking do, like stealing the money, and then smashed some shit up. The dude and Walter are like the henchmen and the nihilists in this circumstance. The kid's an innocent, bro. They just joyrided around. They didn't even take the credence.
Well, and the funny thing about it is, with you saying that, one of the threats they make is cutting his dick off. I mean, it just kind of comes full circle. On top of repeating, this is what happens.
When you find a stranger in the Alps.
Okay, was this the TBS version?
That's literally what he says in the TBS version.
Is it really? Yes.
This is what happens, Larry, when you find a stranger in the Alps.
That's what he says?
Oh, the TV edited version of the Big Lebowski is a whole nother beautiful fucking thing. Maybe we'll watch that for next 420.
That would be fun because I actually kind of like that edited version. That's a pretty clever way.
This is what happens when you feed a monkey raw ham. Literal lines.
That's better than most editing jobs, honestly. So we smashed this fucking Corvette, but oops, we got the wrong car. We got the wrong fucking car because Walter is just always wrong.
It's a case of mistaken car identity.
We're dragging this young little kid into this tomfoolery. We're dragging now one of the neighbors into this.
A disabled old man and his nurse.
And unfortunately for the dude, because he's wrapped up in all this, his car gets beat to shit even more.
The dude's week just keeps getting fucking worse, man.
But at least there's one silver lining. On the way home, Donnie gets his wish. We get in and out. I don't think the dude partakes. I don't think he abides in this moment, but at least Walter and Donnie get theirs.
You know, I kind of wish they skipped it, though.
Why? No.
There's a lot of fat and grease in In-N-Out burgers.
Are you kidding me? The stress that they're going through.
Donnie has a heart attack shortly. This could have been Donnie's last meal. And if he had just gone for a salad.
No.
You know, whenever the guy goes and, like, starts beating up the dude's car, I thought while we were watching it, I was like, oh, fuck, Donnie's in the back seat, get him out.
And then you see him standing in the standing in the fucking yard just fine. He got out. Donnie was fine. He saw what was going
on.
Yeah,
he's okay, yeah.
One thing that I feel like I'm piecing together because of what you just said, Dan, is I bet you Donnie has been trying to tell them about his heart problems for quite some time, but Walter just won't let him get it in.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Exactly. That's why. He probably just says, you know, fuck it, I'm gonna have 18 burgers. I hope I fucking die. I'm tired of being Walter's friend.
Well, he probably had the heart attack from being Walter's friend. This wild card that just pulled out a gun in the bowling alley.
Yeah, being Walter's friend, it's a stressful job. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to both of you.
So now that we've got our in and out, we cut to the dude MacGyvering some chair locking mechanism that fails spectacularly. And
nailing the board to the ground. Wonder if that's going to come off later.
You know, in theory, it's a great idea. I think he got too high and engineered it wrong.
Forgot which way the door swung.
And some more henchmen come in, and now we end up at Jackie Treehorn's place. Now, Jackie Treehorn is Mr. Porno Extraordinaire. He is
the producer of Logjammin.
Thank you. And something just seems a little off of him. The dude kind of has his suspicions, you know. So what does he do? He has a seventh White Russian. And he sees Mr. Treehorn kind of write something down, so his detective brain kicks in. He leaves the room and he runs over, tries to, I guess, trace the remnants of whatever note was there, but it turns out it's actually a picture of a dude and his dick.
Yep, that's just Treehorn shit.
What a genius, like, detective move, though, for him to run over there and, like, trace
and try.
It.
I do also want to appreciate the concrete furniture in this fucking sunken sitting room.
Kind of felt like some villain shit, honestly.
It was super funky.
It was fun.
I liked the whole vibe in his little sunken living room.
Of course you do.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
So, good old Mr. Treehorn comes back. He kind of gets a little combative with the dude. They kind of get into it. And now the dude gets drugged and we get to our second dream sequence here. We go into this drug sequence titled Gutter Balls.
Yeah, they are.
Which honestly was kind of awesome. I loved this whole thing. It was very, like, especially watching it high, I felt just like, I just kind of moved along with it. It was pretty colors. Things were spinning.
Yeah, it was very, like, 1930s, 1940s Vegas fucking, like, show type. You know, you're expecting them all to jump into a pool and synchronize swimming something or other.
Yeah, yeah. It was just kind of, like, just euphoric to watch. I was just enamored by this dream sequence trip, apparently. But all trips have to come to an end. And somehow the dude wakes up from his running down the middle of the street. It turns out Mr. Treehorn has just thrown him out into the wild. And you kind of get the impression that Mr. Treehorn has the police in his back pocket, because this cop has this hatred hard on for the dude and proceeds to call him a jerk off like a gajillion times. And so now the dude is just kind of thrown out. Got to get home, down on his luck again. What's Hail a Taxi? Taxi's playing the Eagles.
That's Fuck the Eagles, man. Fuck the fucking
thing
Eagles.
The dude wants to hear. But the taxi driver hates that. He says, get the fuck out. Don't disrespect my Eagles like that.
That was a pretty Walter move of the taxi driver. I mean, you could have just said, like...
I mean, to be fair, it was a pretty undudish move of the dude also.
Yeah, but, I mean, the guy could either just say, like, no, or just do it. I don't know. I just think it escalated very quickly.
I don't know. I feel like taxi drivers kind of go through some bullshit. He probably had some bad customers.
Yeah, he probably had some really bad person right before. Okay. I changed my mind.
Was it a Saturday? Did he give Walter a ride earlier in the day? Or wait, no, he can't even be in cars, can he?
No, he can't.
Unless it's a life or death situation.
Yeah.
So the dude ends up finding a way home, and what do you know? Now his house is wrecked because nothing can go right.
And he trips over the stupid fucking board on the way in.
There it is. His contraception just fucks him. But surprise, Julia Moore's back and she wants to fuck.
She wants to get down. Good. And thorough.
And they did. Thorough they were. And so good that we got to get another sidewalk roach and have our eighth white Russian. And it's in this moment where we find out that presumably Mr. Lebowski has no money, and Julianne Moore wants to get pregnant, for whatever reason.
Perfect setup for the little Lebowski 30 years later, just get somebody that's kind of dudish, and have his adventure.
I mean, I'd watch that, 100%.
I mean how do you have like a kind of pregnancy storyline, and you don't set up a sequel called The Little Lebowski?
Especially in today's age, I'm kind of surprised. I'm surprised we haven't revisited this world.
Yeah, we did Dumb and Dumber.
I do love in this scene, though, like, whenever she explains what she's doing, and he's like, oh, I don't want to be a dad, and she's like, no, don't worry about it, and they're like, okay, cool, and then they just, like, they go just on.
Go
like,
their it's separate just ways.
Like, okay, that's fine, you know?
Yeah, that's the dude. He, once again, he just abides. You don't want me to be around? Cool. Sounds good to me. But with this newfound knowledge of Mr. Lebowski potentially not having money, it's almost like we've almost cracked the code in the dude's head.
Yeah, he's close to his Paul Giamatti in the Illusionist moment.
We're so close. So what are we going to do? Who's my one guy I can trust? Walter. We got to call him up.
Fucking Walter, dude.
We call up Walter, but unfortunately it's Saturday. And he's not into that idea. He's not going to come and pick you up. Sorry. Whatever, yada yada yada, let's head out to the street. And all of a sudden now the dude has his own private eye on his ass, because enter the Knutsons, this other third party from afar looking for their daughter.
The intrigue continues.
Somehow this true private eye looks at the dude as he's like some ultra professional detective.
That's his like mentor. I want him to grow up to be just like you, dude.
Well, think he got caught by the dude. Like, he can't be that good.
I just find it funny because the whole time the dude's like, what the fuck? Like, no. Who are you? What's going on? No. Stay away from my lady friend.
Special lady friend.
Special lady friend. Excuse me. So the dude's wheels kind of keep turning. He realizes that maybe the original briefcase that Walter tried to replace with the ringer briefcase was actually a ringer. There's all a whole bunch of ringer briefcases.
It's like Johnny Knoxville in this motherfucker.
Oh. Ice cream?
I don't get it.
We're not going to elaborate more. Not now.
We'll put that one on the shelf.
So what do we got to do? We got to head to Mr. Lebowski's. We got to get down to the bottom of all this newfound knowledge, because the dude knows shit, all right? He's going to use that shit. And it ends up kind of becoming like a pissing contest. Like, oh, I know my truth. You know your truth. Ha, ha, ha. Walter decides like, oh, you're not handicapped. I'm just going to fucking rough you up. Turns out, spoiler, Walter was wrong yet again.
Wouldn't put it above Walter to throw a disabled man out of a wheelchair.
Well, that's the thing. He drops him. The dude's like, come on, man. Let's put him back in the chair. That's it. We never know what happens to Mr. Lebowski the rest of the way. And I find that fitting for his character. So now that we're kind of done with his storyline, where are we going? We're going to the bowling alley. That's the only place we can go at a time like this.
Fuck it, dude.
Jesus is there, and he's a little peeved that we didn't have our little Saturday tournament. What the fuck? And once again, he just kind of disappears. That's the end of Jesus. We're just, characters are coming and going now. Because Jesus leaves, the Germans show up. It's just,
oh no.
It's like climax after climax after climax. They just don't stop coming.
We're just wrapping every story.
Yeah, you have to. And the Germans show up and essentially light some shit on fire. The dude's car, toast.
Listen, as a member of the tribe, when the Germans start showing up and lighting shit on fire, you don't stand. It's time to fucking go, man. It's time to fucking go.
And this is one of the few times where I'm on Walter's side. It's fight or flight at this point.
Oh, and Walter fucking fights and flies at the same time because he fucking hucks that bowling ball at Flea.
He goes full fuck you mode. I mean, he throws a bowling ball. He has his Mike Tyson moment. All of a sudden, a boombox is like a sledgehammer in this man's hands. He has this unreal strength. But unfortunately, our boy Donnie gets caught in the crossfire, but not for the reasons you would think. We're going to blame In-N-Out on this one. He has a heart attack.
Oh, no, not because of the car that's on fire in front of him. It's all these Germans trying to attack him. That's not the reason for his heart attack.
It started with the burger and ended with all that.
I'm pretty sure In-N-Out burger didn't help, okay?
It really elevated him for that moment. But in this moment, Walter handles business. Once again, we're knocking stories out. Germans are done. We can move on.
Man, as Donnie was dying in Walter's fucking arms, I felt for fucking Walter, dude. All of his friends and Nom died in his arms, face down in the fucking mud.
Walter's like, that chopper's coming. Don't hold on.
Okay, now I feel bad. For as much as I dislike Walter, I feel for him.
He's struggling.
And I bet you in that moment, he probably had all those moments of, fuck you, Donnie. Just flashback in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably still feels the same, but he was at least sad this time.
And he was still the capital on January 6th.
Fortunately. But now that our friend Donnie has died, we gotta figure out how to celebrate him. And Arden's too expensive. Can we just like rent one? That's apparently not allowed. So a coffee tin does the job. And you know what? I don't blame them. $180 for an urn seems a little excessive. Honestly, just let me bring my own box.
That's $180, $1998.
Whoa. Do the math for inflation. It's still a shit ton of money.
Dying's expensive.
It is. Just throw me in the trash. I don't care.
Oh my god.
Fuck it, dude.
Let's go die. So now that we've got Donnie in our Folgers can, we get a beautiful, beautiful eulogy from Walter, who just kind of rambles, makes some assumptions about his supposed friend. He loves bowling. We know that.
He used to surf, so we're pretty sure he still loves the ocean.
Yeah, you seem like an ocean guy. We'll just drop you here. He finishes the eulogy, begins to toss the ashes, except it's a windy day. And unfortunately, the dude gets Donnie all over him.
Obviously, he's not a golfer. He didn't adjust for the wind.
You know, that's like a big like movie trope. I feel like anytime a movie and TV, anytime someone spreads ashes, like they always fly back to someone. And every time, like, it's always funny. And you're just like it's funny but gross, you know? You're just like,
like, it never loses. People all over me.
It never loses its whatever that feeling it makes you feel.
It's just consistent on the...
Yeah.
And it's also in this moment where the dude has just had fucking enough of Walter. Why are you going on about Vietnam? You fucking spilled our friend on me. What the fuck? Shut up. Just shut up. But anger aside, they at least hug it out. Like friends do.
Yeah, because Walter saw his friend was hurting too, and fucking, it's okay, dude. It's okay. Like, he brought him in.
I know. I know. And it was a beautiful embrace. And it was an embrace so good that we had to have one more line. Fuck it, let's go bowling. We go to the bowling alley. We've moved on from White Russians. We're on to the Oak Sodas, which is just beer. But it's a pretty cool way to say it. And just like that, the dude abides into the distance as we get our final narrator scene kind of saying, this was a batshit movie in the best way possible. Hope you had fun. I sure did. And that's the Big Lebowski.
The dude lives on.
It's been a hot minute since I had a good Lebowski watch under my fucking belt, and this was such a fucking treat for tonight.
Yeah, I think this is definitely my favorite viewing of this movie. I don't know if it'll ever be better than the pre-420 showing we had right now.
Do you guys feel this too? Watching it this time, it just makes me want to be more like the dude. You know, like, I just need to fucking chill sometimes, you know?
Well, back when the Lebowski was the Lebowski in the earlier days of the internet, there's an entire religion called dudism that you can look into. And there's books about the Tao of the dude.
Okay.
So you can live your life to your dudeliest.
What would the dude do?
What we're doing right now.
All right, but that was the Big Lebowski. Like, and that was 420 month. We did it.
Happy 420, guys!
Happy 420. We watched all the stoner movies we wanted to watch.
It, you know, it's such a celebratory moment, but I'm a little sad. It's been such a fun month. I just don't want it to end. I really don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it can't be 420 all the time.
I know.
And honestly, I'm a little fucking burnt. Like, I've been fucking cooked. I've been fucking baked. I've been fucking high. And I am fucking burnt. And I don't know about y'alls, but I could use a fucking tea break.
Yeah, I think after a month like this and what comes tomorrow, I think we're all going to need one.
Yeah, I need a good nap, a rest, a slumber.
Yeah, I need to green out a little bit. So I think it would behoove all of us after this 420 to take a nice little tea break for, what do we say, about a week, 10 days, something like that?
A week?
You want to take a week off?
Yeah, we're taking a week off.
We'll take a tea break for a week. But when we come back, oh brother, we got something in store for you.
I hope you're ready to rumble. Yeah.
I don't think we can legally say that. I think Michael Buffer owns that.
Fuck. I hope you're ready to tumble.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Because coming up, guys, we've got a month full of fisticuffs and pageantry.
Are you trying to tussle?
The gentleman's game. Because it's unnamed wrestling special month.
Give us a week. We'll figure it out.
We'll have something.
Ding, ding, ding. Bring the bell.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a whole fucking, like, I think it's more than a month. It's like 5-6 weeks of fucking wrestling-themed fucking content.
You know what? It's not long enough. It could go forever for all I care. I'm so excited.
Oh, all day, brother.
So, yeah, there will be promos and fucking costumes, and we're going to be watching movies with wrestlers in them. No, it's going to be a good month. It's going to be the rootinest, tootinest, fightinest, bootinest fucking skirmish in the fucking WrestleFest. I'm just fucking spitballing names.
Wrestling.
Super Slam. Here we go. Get ready to lay the smackdown.
Super Slam Summer. There it is. Yeah, got it. Yeah. Super Slam
Super
Summer.
Super Slam Summer.
Ding, ding, ding. Ring the fucking bell. That's how the creative process works.
We'll do it on the fly.
We got there. Super Slam Summer coming up this summer.
By God, it's Super Slam Summer.
And if you want to follow along with Super Slam Summer,
make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at THSMA Podcast. Make sure to give us 5 reviews. Give us 5 reviews. But
all 5. 5 reviews. 5 reviews. 5 reviews. 5 reviews.
And give us 5 stars.
Frog Splash!
On anywhere you can listen to us at.
But that is going to do it for 421. Thank you all for coming along and enjoying the fucking ride and getting really high and eating all the snacks and watching all the movies. And if you see three people walking out of a bowling alley because there's some Germans outside and one of them just had an In-N-Out burger a couple days ago. But they're all really, really high. Come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's how you find a stranger in the Alps.
Are you just going to quote the whole film free for your whole review? Yep.
Had a feeling that was coming. This is very confusing with the two Lebowskis, let me tell you what.
You just go Dude and
Lebowski.
Yeah.
So Lebowski calls him over.
That's how this whole fucking thing started, John. You can't be confused about this.
It's all a misunderstanding.
On a side note, do you guys like bowling? I love bowling.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll fuck with a little bit of bowling.
There were multiple summers that we were there daily.
There was a while where we really wanted to start a bowling league.
Like we were pretty damn close.
Not very good.
Well, we were all right. Come on, don't sell us short.
But commit to getting together once a week and drinking.
It's a tough sell.